Can you agree with me now in just thanking God for receiving your children? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, you parents, listen to me. You have done something most important, and only as the days and the weeks and the months and the years go by will you know how important what it is that you have done today. The Word of God says He is able to keep that which is committed unto you. Your responsibility is to be open to the Spirit of God, to allow God by His Holy Spirit to illuminate this Word so that He can show you how to teach, how to train, how to rear your children. His responsibility is to keep your child. And if you will exercise faith in His Word, what He said, and do that which He tells you to do, He will do His part, and that is keep your child. And when they get to be 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18, and you think the whole world may be caving in around you because of what they're doing, saying, thinking, or who they're keeping company with, you remember that God says to you today, I am able to keep that which is committed unto me. Put your trust in me. Believe in me. And remember what you've done here this day. I'm able to keep them. I'm able to keep them. I am able to keep them, saith God unto you this day. Praise the Lord. You may be seated then. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You know, sometimes when the children are crying, when they're fussing, when they're cutting their teeth, and when they're wetting their diapers, when they're misbehaving and all the rest, you wonder, why did God ever make them like that? But all they have to do is just smile at you one time and you know. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Those of you that are parents, the way you feel about your children, that's the way God feels about you. That's the way He feels about me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have one other announcement I want to make that I had forgotten to make earlier, and that is just on behalf of Vera McDonald and her family. She thanks you and the church for your prayers and for your ministry while she was in distress here a few weeks ago. She and her family are back with us this morning, and she's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and the joy of Jesus is all over her. She wants you to know that she appreciates it. Praise God. Turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, the 54th chapter. I want to share several scriptures with you today concerning especially the rearing and the training of children. As we're dedicating children today, those of you that dedicated your children will certainly want some scriptural counsel, what God expects of you. Those of you who already have children that are older may be wondering, how can I do a more improved job in raising and rearing my children for God? And the Lord has just shared with me a number of different scriptures, and I don't know exactly which way we're going to go here this morning, but we begin to share and begin to read a couple of scriptures and just let Him minister to us, all right? Let's pray just before we do so we get His mind. Father, we thank You for Your promise that we have the mind of Christ. We release Your Spirit, Father, and Your anointing to teach us now out of Your Word. We know that since we have His mind, that it will be the Word of God which comes forth. We know, Father, that we've been redeemed, not of silver and gold, but of the precious blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that we dwell in Him because of Your Spirit that abides in us. And your Spirit abiding in us is going to cause us to understand aright your word today, and you're going to show us something, Father, of value for us, that we might know how to live as Christians and that we might know how to more perfectly serve you. We believe you to bring that to pass, Father, as the word is ministered. And in Jesus' name we give you praise and honor and glory for your word and for the power of it and the life that's in it and for what it will accomplish as it prospers us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great, 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 great shall be the peace of thy children. Not a little teensy bit of peace. Not peace and then no peace and peace and then no peace. Great shall be the peace of thy children. That's God's word. That belongs to you, beloved. And it belongs to me. That's the promise that God has made. Great shall be the peace of thy children. Now, if your children are not at peace, just believe God because He's bringing it. That's the promise. Great shall be the peace of thy children. Now, turn over to the 59th chapter. And I want you to see another promise of God concerning your children. Now, those of you who have infants, those of you that have grade schoolers, those of you that have elementary schoolers, those of you that have teenagers, those of you who have adult children, this promise is for you. God did not make any distinction in here about the age. He did not say that your 2 month old would be a terror in the house. He said he'd have give you peace. And that she would be at peace, or he would be at peace. You do not have to wait for your child to outgrow the things that torment you. God said, great shall be the peace of your children. And if God said, great shall be their peace, then bless God, great shall be their peace. And your responsibility and my responsibility is to take God at His word and believe it. Instead of struggling against Him. So many times we find ourselves, oh, my son, he's never going to amount to anything. Oh, my daughter, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm about to pull my hair out. Anybody ever said that? Maybe she'll outgrow. This is just a stage that she's going through. I'll accept it until she outgrows it. Well, if you're willing to accept it, beloved, you're going to have it. If you're willing to let the devil run over your child, he'll run over your child. If you're willing to let the devil run rampant in your house, he will run rampant in your house, and he'll use anybody in your house to do it. God said, great shall be the peace of your children. That's a promise. But it's a promise just like salvation. The Bible also says, he that believeth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody doesn't get saved, though, do they? They have to believe on the name of the Lord in order to cause that salvation to be real in their lives. It's the same way in your homes. Those of you who have little children that are driving you nuts, don't put up with that. But some of you do. You say amen, and you say, oh me, it's true. Isn't it? Some of you have got little ones that are about to drive you crazy. And those around you too. See? God said, great shall be the peace of your children. He says, I'll teach them. They'll be taught of the Lord. They'll be a blessing to you, and they'll be a blessing to those that are around you. Chapter 59, verse 21. Listen to this one. God is speaking today about His covenant. This is part of His covenant, beloved. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now, what spirit do you have on you? Do you have the Holy Spirit? What words do you have in your mouth? Do you have the words of God in your mouth? God said, this is not what I'm going to try to do. He said, this is my covenant with you. He said, I'm going to put the words that are in your mouth in your children's mouth. And I'm going to put the spirit that's on you on them. Now, if you are constantly talking negative, if you are constantly downgrading your kids, if you are constantly bellyaching and murmuring and grumbling and complaining about this life, do you know what words are going to go into your kids' mouths? Those. But if you are speaking the word of God, if you are declaring the word of faith, if you are declaring what God's word says about you and your family and your children, do you know what words are going to be in your children's mouth? Words of faith, words of power, words of joy, you see. Words of can-do rather than words of can't-do. And the spirit that's upon you, God said, I make a covenant with you. The spirit that's on you, I'll put on your children. Now that's a promise of God. I've said this over and over again. I say it again just to make a point. If that promise isn't any good, then your salvation isn't any good. If that promise isn't any good, how do you know that Jesus is going to raise you up on the last day? If that promise isn't any good, how do you know that he that believeth on the name of the Lord is going to be saved? If the other promises are good, this one is too. God says, I'll make a covenant with you. I'm going to put my spirit on your kids and my words in their mouth. Now, is it important what we do? Yes. It's important what we speak. It's also important what we do. And if you'll turn with me, please, to the 20th chapter, 22nd chapter, I'm sorry, of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. I want to show you something here. And then we're going to look at another example, a specific example out of the Old Testament that has to do with child rearing according to God's Word. Very familiar verse out of Proverbs 22. Verse number 6. Solomon said these words, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, you've dedicated your children to the Lord here this morning, and now he says to you, train up the child in the right way, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, we've all heard that verse from the time we were this big, if we've been in church. But there's something that many of us have not seen in here. Solomon said, train up your children. He did not say teach them. The word teach is used multiplied times in the Old Testament, but the word train is only used once, and that's in this verse right here. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Teaching will not get the job done. We must train our children. Webster defines the two words this way, and I think they'll be helpful for us. Teach is to impart knowledge, to make to know how. But to train means to lead or direct the growth of, to form by bending or pruning, to form by instruction and discipline. Teaching will not get your children drawn to God. Training will. Now let me give you an example. Most of you are familiar with working in gardens and around homes and with plants and that sort of thing. And many of you know what a pyracantha is. It's a firethorn bush. Gets the orange berries on in the fall. And it's a very beautiful plant when it's espaliered up a wall. Planted along a wall. And how many of you would go out and plant a pyracantha bush along a wall and then stand back and say, now, pyracantha, I want you to espalier yourself on that wall? Your neighbors would be calling for Milledgeville, wouldn't they? Your neighbor came over and said, that's a beautiful pyracantha. Yes, I've told it to espalier itself up the wall there. He'd have you carried off. What do you do? You take the plant, you see, and as it begins to grow, you take a branch and you move it over here and you tack it to the wall where you want it to grow. And you take this branch and you put it over here and you tack it where it wants to go. And when it gets to be a little unruly, you prune a branch back because that branch is getting too long. And you take the other one, you see, and you put it up here and you tack it over the way. And the first thing you know, when that plant is full grown, you have a beautiful espaliered wall with a beautiful pyracantha plant on it. Some of you know that in years past, I used to work some with horses. I've never had a horse that I could say, "Horse, do this," and he would do it. I've never had one. I've had some good horses, but none of them would ever do that. There's only one way to get a horse to do what you want it to do, and that's to put a bridle on it or a halter on it and show it what you want it to do. You must form it. You must bend it to make it go the way you want it to go. And you must do the same thing with a child. Train up a child. So many in our society today are trying to teach the children, but they're not training them. And when they get old, they depart from what they've been taught because they hadn't been trained. All they've been done is talked to. They've not been formed. They've not been bended. They've not been molded. They haven't been disciplined. They haven't been, you see, molded into the image that God's Word says they should be. And many parents, you see, are unwilling to do that because it's hard to do that. It's easier sometimes, you see, to allow the child to go his own way. Now, let me show you something about your children. Now, you may not like this, some of you, but you ought to know it. Turn to Psalm, please, 58. We go into the hospital and the little baby is born and it's precious and it's lovely and it's beautiful. And our love is poured out so upon that child that we are blinded as to the condition of the child. Psalm number 58, verse number 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Now God's words say that the wicked does not learn how to be wicked. He goes that way from the time he's born. And the natural way for a person to go when he is born is astray. And the natural thing for him to speak is a lie. Well, children, when they are born, are basically selfish, are they not? They're basically concerned about themselves. They're concerned about themselves. They have that kind of a nature. We know that when God made Adam, he made him perfect. He made him good. But Adam fell. And the Word of God says that when Adam fell, death reigned by sin, and death fell upon every man. It passed upon every man. Romans chapter 5. That means everyone that is born that way. David understood that about himself. In the Psalm 51, he said these words. Behold, verse 5, Psalm 51, 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He said, I was born that way. He said, I've sinned and I've transgressed. And the reason that I did, God, I understand that that's the way I was born. I came into the world that way. Why do you think people need to be saved? They need to be saved because all of a sudden one day when they were 12 years old, they did sin? Huh? They have the nature of sin in them, you see. When they're born, it's Adam's nature. And until we get the nature of Christ in us through the new birth, and that's the only way that it comes, we have that old nature. That's why your child screams, and that's why your child hollers. That's why your child selfishly jerks away the toy from the other child. That's why your child will not listen to you unless you discipline and form and mold him to restrain that. He is naturally bent to go astray. He is naturally bent to lie and to be concerned about himself, not somebody else. That's why God's Word says, train your children so that when they get to the proper age, that they will go the right way. And you don't wait until they're this big before you try to train them to go up that wall. You wait and you get them when they're small. Now I'm going to show you something out of the Word in 1 Samuel. I'm going to give you an example of two families. One of them we've already looked at briefly was the family of Hannah and Elkanah. And Hannah had the son Samuel. And she lent him to the Lord. She dedicated him to the Lord. She trained him. And we see that if you look in the third chapter of the book of Samuel, you remember that story, you remember that in the second chapter, first of all, of 1 Samuel. You remember that story that Hannah, after the child was weaned and had come to an agreeable age, she took the child to the temple and gave the child to the priest, Eli, and said, I give him to the Lord. Verse number 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child. Even though he was a child, he did the work of God in the temple. And over in the third chapter, the very familiar story about Samuel being asleep at night, and the Spirit of God came and spoke to him. And Samuel woke up and he thought he'd heard Eli's voice. And what did he do? He ran to Eli and he said, here am I, here am I. Just give you an indication of the kind of a child he was. When he thought he heard Eli calling in the middle of the night, he went to see what was wrong. He wanted to know. And he went back to sleep again, and the voice of God came the second time to him. Samuel, Samuel. And he woke up and he heard the voice and he says, well, Eli needs something. He's an old man. I'm going to go see to him. He's just a child. He's just a young boy. And he went over to see. He says, Eli, what'd you call me for? And he says, I didn't call you. Now that's the heart, you see, of that child because of the way he was trained. Now let me show you the heart of Eli's children. Eli had two sons, Phinehas and Hophni. And they were priests, but they were bad cats. Let's get the verse here. Verse number 22 of the second chapter of 1 Samuel. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they used to also, they would steal the offerings that would come. The people bring the offerings, and they would take more than the portion they were supposed to take. And he said unto them, why? Now listen to this. This is Eli talking to his children. He said, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. And if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Now Eli was trying to do with his children what many are trying to do today with theirs. And I want you to see something in those few verses. Scolding your children will not get them trained. Do you hear what I said to you? Scolding your children will not change them. You must train them, not scold them, not talk to them, you see. So many of our homes, it's daughter, do the dishes. No dishes get done. Daughter, do the dishes. Didn't I ask you to do the dishes? Why won't you do the dishes? Now do the dishes or I'm going to take something away from you. Do the dish. Daughter, do the dishes. Why won't you do the dishes? I'm going to tell your father you won't do the dishes. Now do the dishes or I'm going to redden up your bottom. And you know what happens? The dishes get washed. Is that the way it works or doesn't it? Now do you know what you're training your child? You're training your child to obey when you get angry and yell. You are teaching them, you see. You are training them. It's the wrong kind of training. And forever thereafter, that's all they will respond to. Now, God's word's clear about training children and disciplining children and restraining children and so on. And we've talked about that on many occasions. The thing I want to get across to you this morning in this brief time that we have together is that there's a tremendous difference between teaching your child and training your child. Words will not get the job done. You must train. You must form, you must mold, you must restrain. That's the only way that you'll get your child trained up in the way that he should go. And if you won't do it, your child will not be a blessing to you in your old age. I can tell you that on the strength of God's word. Your child will be a reproach to you, not a blessing. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, let me say this to you parents. Not only those of you who have dedicated your children here, but those of you who are sitting there with dedicated children. God has given you the most precious thing He has available to give you. That is His joy in the form of these children. He requires of you that you train up these children in the way that they should go. That if you do not know how to do it, you learn how. And if you already know how, you do. Be a doer of the Word of God rather than a hearer only. You have an obligation to God, and you have an obligation to your children. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you today for the custodianship of these children. We know, our Father, that they belong to you and they've been given unto us in trust. You said it is required of a steward that he be found faithful. And Father, we don't want to be faithful with our finances, faithful with our abilities, faithful with our time, and then unfaithful with our children, because we do not want to train them according to your word. We ask you, Father, to forgive us today where we may have missed your mark in this area. And Lord, cause that to be removed from your remembrance. And give us, our Father, clear guidance now from your word as to how we should go from this day forth. Well, we take that which is behind us and we forget. We look ahead towards that which is before us, the great prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus, to the peace of our children, great peace. And to the Holy Spirit of God being poured out upon them, and to the Word of God being spoken from their lips. In Jesus' name, Father, we confess that you will do as you said, because we will do as you said. We pray in His wonderful name. Amen. It is a tremendous responsibility, folks. It's not something that we should take lightly. It's easy. It's very easy. It's very easy to, what do they say on the streets, make a baby. That doesn't take any talent at all. It is a somewhat different matter to make a man or to make a woman. There's only one way that you can make a man or make a woman. And that's this way. No other way works. I don't care how many copies he's sold. This one is the one that'll tell you how to make a man and how to make a girl. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Amen.